I read an article in Network Marketing Times. I don't even have it on my desk. Isn't that kind of fun? I must have done a really good job of reviewing it. Read an article in Network Marketing Times. It was written by Orrin Woodward, and it was just exciting to read about something I've always believed in. He titled his article "The Marriage of Character and Skills," and you can actually find that article. By the way, let me just highlight something for you. I didn't bring it up, and maybe I'll talk about it again next week. There is a terrific article in the Network Marketing Times May-June edition on Al Bala. It's called "The Power of Unity," and I really want to. I'll do this next week for us. I'm going to copy that article and put it in a PDF for you, all you guys, so you can have it. But what's important is that I think you can use that article in incredible ways in marketing your Manitech business. So maybe we'll just focus on that next week. So I'll bring that up and focus on that in our next Monday call. Okay, sound good to everybody? It's a terrific article, and it really can help you sell people on Manitech. But anyway, in the same edition, Network Market Times, this article, "Marriage of Character and Skills" by Orrin Woodward. Orrin Woodward is a co-author of a best-selling book called "Launching a Leadership Revolution." And he wrote this little write-up in the Network Marketing Times kind of to give you a flavor of what that book is about. I didn't really look at it as a book review because it really stands on its own, but I'm going to give you some insight into the book at the end because I did more research on the Internet. And as some of you saw, I actually attached a great piece I found on the Internet after just researching the book that really gave you almost like a book review of that book and gave you the tools to start working on yourself in regard to what this article is about. So we'll talk about that as we conclude it. But the main gist of what Orrin Woodward is saying in this article and what he's teaching us here is the idea that people, as in general, when you're out there, oh, I got some people not on mute. Hang on a second. There you go, so we clear out the noise. That the reality is that people will follow you as a leader before they'll ever buy into a company or product. And the intriguing part of that is when you look at the bottom line, we look at all the energy and efforts we put into getting great materials to sell people on Manitech and great product presentations and new product breakouts. We focus on so much of the newness of what Manitech's producing for us and in terms of materials and new ideas and new this and new that. And what happens to us is we get caught up in that, in our company or in our products, that we fail to recognize one of the most crucial, if not the most crucial, factor involved in everything that you do in our industry, which is the relationship you're building with people. Who are you as a leader? And that's what's going to attract people to your business or distract them. Because people, again, first and foremost, they are looking to be led by you. And so how are you coming across in the realm of getting people started in the business? And or how can you supplement or support yourself if you don't feel like your leadership skills are where they need to be yet? How do you support yourself growing in those areas? And what can you do in the meantime so that you can still be very effective growing your business even though you're growing at the same time? So let's focus on that. So the idea here is, of course, companies and products and vision are all very secondary to what people look at to follow. They're going to be looking at you and following you. So how are you coming across in regard to that? So no technique or approach, I don't care. We're all looking for the golden bullet or the silver bullet or something. I don't know what they say in network marketing, but golden key or silver bullet that we're looking for that will make all the difference in the world in us being able to, build a great business. And new tools come out, new things, and, we've seen everything from A to Z. If you've been in Manitech long enough, there's been 101 different techniques, 101 different, methods, mechanisms to get there. The idea is that why don't they work? Well, they do work. If you look at and you follow any of those given techniques, I can find people that, were extremely effective in cold marketing. That's all they did was buy thousands of leads and call hundreds of people a day, and there's a handful of people. But again, what is it? There's a handful, maybe two or three. But we have thousands of people that try it and then fail. And then you have another system and another system, another. Even even with what we're looking at MTech's Pro today, there's people out there, some that are being successful and some that are totally failing at it. And the idea is that it's not the technique or the approach, because those will never, overcome a lack of character. So networkers historically will end up like, can you run on pure momentum sometimes to get lots of people and you can just kind of confuse people for a short period of time. But the idea is that you're going to end up coming back and having to have to start all over and rebuild your whole business because of what? Because you failed to focus on building character. Instead, you went after the newest gimmick, the newest technique, the newest thing, because you're shortcutting the process of what is going to help you build the biggest and best business, and you're going to build it on a solid foundation. So it's kind of cute that he quoted Abraham Lincoln in his article. He said, "You can fool some of the people all the time and all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time." And that's really what this is about. You can lead people down straight paths, and you can get momentum going and do some things based on, circuitous arguments or thoughts or techniques or mechanisms, but the reality is that the bottom line, when the line in the sand is drawn, with all those trite phrases they use, the idea is going to be that where's the character? And if you're not building that, and you're not building leadership character along that pathway, everything will crumble underneath it. And one of the reasons for that too is that your team always follows your leadership. They will always follow your leadership. So if you're not focusing on building leadership skills for them, you're focused on being the best you can be only and not empowering them to be the best they can be, you're going to just self-destruct your own downline. You're going to destroy your own business because it becomes all about you. You feel so good about yourself because everybody needs you, and then all of a sudden you can't figure out why your business isn't growing. Why isn't anyone else getting to presidential? Why isn't anyone else growing into leadership positions, even though you've done it yourself? Well, because you've made yourself be the central figure for everything instead of growing people underneath you. And you as a leader are the one, you at the top of that team is the one that people are going to follow. So everything you do, they're going to duplicate. So if you cut corners, the team's going to cut corners. If you disrespect corporate office, they're going to disrespect it. If you don't prospect, your team's not going to prospect. It's one of the reasons why every single year that I've been involved in this business since I started, I've always been in the top 5 prospectors in my entire downline. That's a huge statistic. Why is it? Because I realize that if I'm not out there signing people up, I cannot look somebody in the face and expect them to do it. I need to be in the top 5 prospectors in my downline every single year. It's just part of who I am. It's part of me being a leader. You don't sit back and just go, "Oh, this is great. Look at how everybody's growing the business, and I get to sit back and just watch it." Watch out. Okay? What kind of leadership characteristic does that show? Right? So, it gets to that example, that number one way we lead is through example. We lead by example. Work on you first. Be the person that you choose to be. Who is that person? Well, you've got to determine that, but that's choices you need to make, and it has to be directionally. You want to be the best possible leader you can, so you work on you. It's the same concept as we look at raising kids. It invariably happens. I can see my stepdaughters, and yesterday was a great day. Got a lot of Mother Days. In fact, all my kids, my niece and nephew and my 2 stepdaughters called to wish me Happy Mother's Day, which was just wonderful to hear from everybody and just a great day. And I hope you all had a special Mother's Day yourselves. But the neat thing is you can look at these kids as you raise these kids and you can say, I can see characteristics in them that I didn't have as much influence as you guys did because with your own children, because none of them were, I wasn't the birth parent of any of them. But the incredible thing is I can see some things that they picked up from me, but I also, what else do we see in kids? Things that you can be really proud of? Oh, my gosh, look at that leadership characteristic. Look at that perseverance and that persistence and the drive that person has, and they're never going to give up. And then you can see some of the other aspects that you've also bestowed on them that may not be as positive. But you know what? It's a reflection of you. So they pick up on the good stuff, and they also pick up on the not-so-good stuff. So that's why we need, as leaders, to continue to work on being the best we can be, because we know that's what people will learn from us. They'll pick up on. So the toughest thing, I guess, that we see, and he brought it up in his article as well, that it's really tough to see a leader lose credibility and destroy their business due to character issues. But what's even tougher, and tougher for me, because I know a lot of you on this call, you're on my Monday call not because you're in my organization, my downline. You're on this Monday call because you kind of are orphaned. There are a lot of orphans that show up on this call because they don't have leadership above them. But there are a lot of you that have great leadership. You just choose to get your Monday kicked off in the right direction. And I, you know, I'm more than happy to have all of you on this call. But it's tough to watch the characterless leaders that fall by the wayside, and then you see all the people that happen to be on their ship tend to sink with them, and all of a sudden they feel left out. And that's why it's important, I believe, in network marketing to secure yourself with leaders that you respect and honor, and you can get a lot of help and support from them as well. Okay, so that's so the focus is what? It's going to be on developing leadership skills yourself and being the leader, the best leader you possibly can be, because that's what's going to attract people to you. It's not the product, it's not the company, it's not it. They might join because of some of those other things. They might get a little excited about it because of some of those things, and you can drive their excitement. But if you don't show up as a leader, or you don't tie them into somebody in your upline as a leader, as you're growing to be that new leader, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have run a short shift in your organization. And maybe some of you can look back at that and say, wow, maybe Mary Jo, maybe that's some of the reason why I've seen my inability to really grow this business and make it big, because I haven't been investing in myself. I haven't become that leader that I need to, and that's why I lose people, is because they don't really view me as the leader that I need to be. So let's look at leadership principles in action. And this is where we talk about skills development is necessary, and we spend a lot of time on this. In fact, the MAP program, you know, the Momentum Action Plan that Al Bell has been so instrumental in developing. We have great training tools now on Manatech's website, how to contact, how to approach, how to build a names list, make presentations, how to close, manage prospects, retain, reactivate, et cetera. We spend endless time on teaching people all these different things, how to use the Internet, how to, you know, use different, you know, marketing tools, in terms of training people. And all of those things are important because those are part of what we call skills development in the network marketing industry. So you ought to have a plan on how you're going to teach people these different skills. But at the same time that people are learning these skills, alongside with that, they need to be doing personal and leadership development. It's not something you wait until you have all the other skills and then you jump into personal leadership and development. You need to be working on personal leadership and personal development at the same time. They need to flow hand in hand. They need to be on the same track to make sure these people are growing in both of these areas all the time. And I will suggest that personal leadership development never stops. It's a firm commitment you make for the rest of your life. How are you driving that? How are you making it happen? How are you becoming the best leader you can become? That's what you need to be working on. And the Clemmer work that Manatech has kind of aligned themselves with over the last year and a half or so is just one of many possible ways. It's a terrific experiential method to create massive change in your life, to bust through programs and belief systems and things that are holding you back in a very short period of time. And it's exciting to have that kind of ability to have that tie-in as we move forward. But that's why you look at some of the best network marketing companies in the world, and you're going to see that they have a personal development process, a leadership development process that goes along with their skill development, because it's so crucial to develop both, and most important is that leadership development. Not the skills training, but the leadership development. In Oren's book, he's co-author with Chris Brady, he's the other guy who helped write the book. They wrote a book called Launching a Leadership Revolution. And in that book, he presents what we call the Trilateral Leadership Ledger. And it's a method to judge your leadership skills in three areas. And this is kind of cool because it's hard sometimes for us to say, well, Mary Jo, I don't know where I am. I think I'm a good leader. And you go, well, how do you measure that? Are you a good leader? Isn't that incredible? Why not have a tool to measure your leadership ability and to help you pinpoint areas where you still need some help? And that's what this Trilateral Leadership Ledger is all about. It's about is about looking at leadership and giving you a method to judge the skills that you have in three distinct areas. Number one is character, number two is task, and number three is relationship. Now, the way the trilateral leadership ledger works, and we'll look more at that as I look at the attachment with you, is that you have a scale of 1 to 10 in each of these three categories. And, you know, if you look at character and you say, well, my character is pretty good, I think about 4 or 5 in character, and task, well, you know, Mary Jo, that's probably my downside. I just don't take action. I tend to be, so that might be a 0 for you. And then relationship, you go, oh, I'm real relational, that's going to be a 10. I love people. I can hang out with people every day of the week. I build relationships so easily. So what you do is you have so character is 4 or 5, task is 0, and relationship is 10. What do you do at the end of putting numbers on each of these three categories that are so crucial for leadership is you multiply them together. So if character is 4 or 5 and I multiply that time the relationship, which is 10, then I'm up to 40 to 50. But if I'm 0 at task, what does that make my total? 0. Because anything times 0 is 0. So you can see what happens if you really neglect any one of these areas, it's going to really show up big for you in terms of leadership. Because if you're not going to be action-oriented, you're not a leader at all. You're out there on a limb, flying by the seat of your pants in certain arenas, and you're not going to get anywhere because that's what you're in effect doing. You're shooting by the seat of your pants and not getting yourself moving forward in a direction because you don't take action. So it doesn't matter how much relational skills you have if you're not going to take action with it. And I have a lot of people like that. I can look at what's fun about this new trilateral leadership ledger to me is that I look at some of the people I've been coaching and it hits the nail on the head that some of my people are really relational, but they never, you know, they have either a fear of asking somebody to join or they don't want to talk or they get so caught up in lack of focus or misdirectional. Well, they're just like their task orientation is negligible. They won't take the action to make it happen. So they have a 10 in relations, but 0 in tasks. So what kind of leader are they? A 0? Yeah. So intriguing how you score this thing. And so what do we need to do? We need to work on all three areas to develop true leadership. So let's run through and look at these three areas, and then I want to go through the attachment I put on the outline. Number one, we want to model the right character to others. In other words, people will follow you only as far as they trust you. So we want to make sure that we're modeling a trustworthy character, that we pick on the right characteristics and traits of being a solid, good citizen. The golden rule applies here. And I heard some interesting things. This is where I incorporated something I heard the other day. I was on a conference call with Brian Klemmer and this guy who's like a multi-millionaire. And we did a conference call on financial abundance. And we talked about both of us were contributing to this call with Brian leading the way. And the intriguing thing that this other gentleman said, he said to me, we were talking about the golden rule and that you treat team members, well, in regard to what we're talking about here, we're talking about treating team members' business the same way you treat yours. So, but he said, you don't apply the golden rule in business. And I thought, well, that's intriguing. I've never heard that. It was a different twist. And what he said, no, you want to learn how to treat others not the way you want to be treated, but the way they want to be treated. And I thought, now there's some excitement. That makes a lot of sense, right? So how you treat another person has more to do with how they want to be treated than how you want to be treated. And if we get stuck in treating other people how we want to be treated, we could find ourselves failing miserably. And that's why we need to go through what Michael Oliver talks about is the discovery process so that we understand the other person. Remember, seek first to understand. Yeah, understand the other person so we understand what quadrant they're in and how they want to be treated. And you're going to be most effective at your business if you do that. But on the other hand, when you talk about building your downline and all that kind of stuff, you want to make sure that you treat your team members' business the same way you treat yours. Now, I have seen this in Manatech many times where a leader teaches something that they wouldn't do themselves. And I've had many discussions around it, and I've talked to people about it, and it always troubles me because I think that you know, there's no integrity behind that. And I've even seen, I had one leader, and I'm not saying this to disparage people because I'm not going to mention names, but I just wanted to be clear to you guys as leaders out there. If you find yourself teaching people how to grow their downline and it's inconsistent with how you grew your downline, now maybe you've come to a better conclusion that the way you did it was wrong and now you're going to do it the right way. Now that's one conclusion you can draw and honestly move forward on with integrity. But if there's a mechanism because you're growing it one way because it produces maximum income for you and you're going to help other people underneath you to grow it a different way because you want to continue maximizing your income versus maximizing theirs, that's when you've lost total integrity. You want to help each and every one of your people have the maximum level of income. It's not about you. If they maximize their income, you're going to maximize yours because they're going to continue working the business because they're going to be making a lot of money because of you. So the important thing is to treat them the same. I saw a presidential that would, every time they help somebody sign somebody up, they'd do a three-way call or they'd meet with somebody, they'd always take the enroller position. So they had people in their downline that had 25, 35 people underneath them, but they were only enroller of one, and the presidential was enroller of all the other ones. And, I mean, I was astounded. Of course, who's making all the money here? The presidential. And they said, well, Mary Jo, I'm putting all the time and energy in. Because I approached them on it because I just was trying to figure out what strategy they're using here that could ever possibly be thought to be, you know, effective. It seemed to me to be so short-term. It seemed to be so, I want to make money now. I don't care about the future. I don't care about these people's future. Because the enroller status is huge, right? Especially today with power bonuses and upline enroller, generational bonuses, and all this kind of stuff. And the automatic order enroller, you know, 5%. I mean, it's incredible all the payouts that go because you're an enroller. So you want to make sure that your people become enrollers of all their own people. And so I approached the presidential on it, and they really couldn't give me, they just made it all about, well, I had to spend time and effort doing it. And I'm going, yeah, but these are people you're trying. Clearly, they weren't following this golden rule. They were like, "It's all for me, and that's all that matters." Now, that same presidential I'm just talking about today has nothing. I'm not even in Manatech anymore. Their whole organization blew up. They didn't even qualify. They went from presidential down to national director in a very short period of time. And now I think the person's actually doing Max instead of Manatech, and somehow wants to blame Manatech on her particular woes. Well, that's not working for me. Again, you want to help build your people's downline the same way you would build yours. So treat it with honor and respect, and that's about character, about integrity. Socrates, he gave a great quote in there, "The unexamined life is not worth living." What does that mean? It means that we need to examine our character. And one of the greatest shortcomings we have as people is that we have a very hard time seeing ourselves. Did you ever notice that? And we're going to talk about that when we go through the tests that you can take and how to improve. But so we need to take time to evaluate our own character and then take action on it to improve ourselves. And that time is not always spent. We tend not to sit back and pontificate on who we are, what we've done, who we are to other people, how can we improve in our relationships with other people to be more effective. That's what we need to work on and concentrate on. Our society, too, in terms of modeling character, you know, just this is what I said earlier, we tend to be more excited about product launches than we are about glamour activities or personal development activities. We don't want to make the investment. We get into scarcity instead of coming from abundance. And the most incredible investment you ever can make is still in who? In yourself. So you got to continue to look at that and start making those investments in yourself because as you grow, so will your business grow. So it won't grow without you, but it will grow with you. So you need to put focus and concentration on growing your own character. So that's one area to develop true leadership. The second area that he talked about was developing your task category through action habits. Now, this is just becoming the kind of like the ever-ready bunny. You know, we've got to keep moving forward. We have to act, act, act. Procrastination is the assassination of motivation. How do you like that? I thought that was a good quote, too. Procrastination is the assassination of motivation. So how many of you can raise your hand today and say, I never procrastinate? No, none of you can. Anyone who tried to raise their hand, put it back down because it's not honest. We all procrastinate. In fact, sometimes I look at myself and I think, oh my gosh, I worked so hard, I'd get all this done. I'm not procrastinating. Wrong. I have a great article on procrastination. Every time I review it, and I try to do it once or twice a year just to get my head straight, it's incredible how things pop up in my brain, because it helps me recognize the things I'm procrastinating on. Because sometimes when we procrastinate, we don't even know we're doing it, because we put that item that we don't want to do so far out of our brain that we can't even focus on it. It doesn't even pop up. But it's there. It's there. So we're all procrastinators in a way. What we want to do is limit that as much as possible. And I love this other quote he said, too. He said, you don't think your way into new action as much as you act your way into new thinking. Isn't that so it's kind of like, and I compared it kind of to Clemmer's little formula, intention plus mechanism equals results. A lot of times we sit there and we focus on, we wait until the mechanism comes. We try to think of the means, you know, okay, think of, let me think and let's strategize and let's plan and let's strategize and let's think and let's think and let's strategize and let's plan and let's, and you get stuck in the mechanism. When in reality, if you just put commitment out there, make a commitment, like you guys make a commitment to win Atlantis, or make a commitment to have at least one presidential leg, Hispanic leg, by manifest next year. You make that commitment, and then just get to work. You don't have to think about it. You just get to work. I keep giving you guys ideas every single Monday morning about how to grow your Mexico business and how to make this work, and you just got to, you know, just take them on. Start acting. I have some people that go, well, Mary Jo, I'm not quite ready yet. I go, when are you going to be ready? You're waiting for the boat to dock. And I had somebody else tell me, well, Mary Jo, I met with this guy, and you know, I don't think it was very successful. I'm not sure he's interested. And I said, great. What do you mean it wasn't successful? And they said, well, he didn't sign up. And I go, so what? Did you learn something? Oh, yeah. Listen to what I learned. And I went through, and I go, wow. How do you think you're going to learn about how to work with the Hispanic culture if you don't go out there and start doing it? You guys want everything to be lined up perfectly for you before you take the approach. Wrong. Oh, but Mary Jo, I'm going to run out of Hispanic contacts. Not in this lifetime. People, there are 30 million here in the United States. I don't think you have to worry about running out of them. It's about taking action and taking it now. Don't wait till Christmas. Don't wait till the perfect materials are available. Take action now. This is just about connecting with people. So get out there. And sure, you might stumble and fall your first couple times, but will you learn something? In every endeavor you do, you will learn something. So go out there and take action. And that's what this whole category is about, being a leader. It's about developing action habits. And I loved it when he said, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you learn how to do it well. Absolutely. So go out there and be really crummy at approaching the Hispanic market. And do it and do it and do it, because you know what? You're going to learn how to do it really well. And don't put things off. If you have a prospect to contact, just do it. If you have conflict with someone, call them and resolve it. If someone needs encouragement, give it to them. Are you catching on to what this is? Basically, it is quit procrastinating. Get it done today. Get into the today matters mode. Get into the action now mode. You know, take dramatic action. Get out there and build momentum. That's what builds momentum. Somebody asked me that sometime. Mary, what's the way to build momentum in my business? And I said, massive action. It's the number one way. Well, but I don't know what to do. It doesn't matter. Just take massive action. You can figure it out along the way. You just, you know, it's kind of like that Nike saying, just do it. And leaders get results because they master action. And that is so true. That's a quote that maybe some of you can plaster up somewhere on your wall. Leaders get results because they master action. And then the third characteristic is relating to others. Now, this is where a lot of you are really terrific. And some of you are not. Some of you are shy. You're introvert. You've been told that. But, you know, that's just a choice as well. It really is a choice. Somehow in your early, you know, when you're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, somebody told you you're shy and you just kept buying into it, and so today you look like a wallflower. I can basically work with any wallflower and make them one of the most gregarious people in the whole room if you just give me a few hours, a few days. Just changing habits. It's just choosing to be something else. You can choose to be something else. You don't have to get stuck in a stereotype that somebody put on your life when you were young. How ridiculous would that be? Somebody else told me what to do. Well, you can go victim to that. You can go to your grave going, well, I was victim to my mother because this is what she did to me. Wow, that's really cool. Wrong. Step into responsible. Take control of your life. Be responsible for it. Being able to respond and choose something different. But get out there and relate to people. Leaders must confront your weaknesses to turn them into strengths. So if you look at yourself and say, I'm shy, you go, well, I want to become a great listener. I'm going to start involving myself and start interacting and go out and start being a great listener. If you're being a great listener, you're going to become a great connector. So perhaps even from taking from that quote-unquote shy status, you can be a better listener than somebody that's overly gregarious who doesn't tend to listen as much because they like to hear themselves talk more. But use your weaknesses and turn them into strengths. Other ways to relate to learn better relational skills is read the best books on people skills. There are great books on, you know, listening skills. There's great books on how to get over I need to be liked. That's just a horrible program running so many people's lives. You know, there's just great books. How about fear? You got a bunch of fear. Susan Jeffers has got great books on fear, overcoming fear, feel the fear and do it anyway. There's just great stuff out there about how to break down some of your tendencies and your characteristics that are stopping you in the mud. Michael Oliver's stuff, you know, the whole series he did on natural selling is terrific because what does it talk to? It talks about how to relate to other people. You go through the discovery process first, and then you start relating to them because now you can talk to them about what truly are their specific needs. It's the same thing with Stephen Covey in his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He talks about what? He talks about seek first to understand. So again, learn to relate to others. People don't know how much, or don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That came right out of the article, and as you know, that's one of my favorite quotes as well. So that kind of covers what the article is about, but I also wanted to go over with you guys the piece that I found on the internet. And there's a lot written about the Trilateral Leadership Ledger, but I love this piece. It was actually written by a pastor, so there's a Christian bent to it. And by the way, I guess our buddy Orrin Woodward and his co-author Chris Brady are also Christians, but that doesn't mean you have to be a Christian to understand it, right? I mean, all of this is basically not related to any one spirituality. But this article that is attached to your outline is just a terrific article because it helps you get more insight into these 3 categories of personal effectiveness or 3 categories of personal effectiveness in regards to leadership, becoming a great leader. They talk about character, tasks, and relationships. I liked a couple things in here. I'll just read some of the things that I liked out of this attachment. First of all, when he talks about you must rule yourself before you rule others, this is kind of like we're all on a path of self-mastery. Does that make sense? Now, some of you don't know it, some of you don't acknowledge it, and some of you don't do it. But the idea is that if you want to be most effective in your life and carry out the highest and greatest purpose in your life, the first step is self-mastery. And before you can start, you know, ruling yourself or controlling that self or being in control of your life moving forward, and mastering yourself, you have to first know yourself, right? You have to know who you are. And this is where this fellow that wrote this article, he says his name is Mick, he said that most of us live in one or other state of self-deception. And it's hard not to because we tend to see things through our own set of sunglasses. So we live in a state of self-deception with blind spots about who and what we truly are. And we need to clearly see our strengths and weaknesses, and then we can start growing. One of the reasons I like to do that SWOT analysis because it makes you do some self-analysis of what are my strengths, what are my weaknesses. But this is deeper. This is really goes in great depth about what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses, and really getting out of that state of self-deception. And again, just like Stephen Covey says in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he says the internal victories, in other words, us conquering us, victories in terms of our personal growth, precede the external victories. So we're not going to have external victories until we have those internal victories. Now, when he talks about the 3 categories of personal effectiveness, the same 3 I just went through, because this is, again, just a review of that Trilateral Leadership Ledger. When he talks about character, I love the statement. It was like influential leaders are the ones who devote themselves to personal discipline. and make the most of their gifts. And that was a tough thing for me when I saw the words personal discipline. Does everybody get that? I mean, especially if you're coming with a tendency towards the promoter quadrant. I'm just going to suggest that that quadrant tends to have less to do with personal discipline. And so it's something that we consistently have to work really hard on. Whereas when you get up into that analyst quadrant, you might have more personal discipline that occurs because they're so into doing, not making a mistake. So they tend to have a little bit more element of personal discipline. But we all need to work on personal discipline. And that's the influential leaders are the ones who devote themselves to personal discipline and make the most of their gifts. That's a big, I love that quote. If there's one that stuck out for me, and this might just be me, Mary Jo, relating to it. So I want to make sure I'm opening that door of possibility that it may not apply to all of you overall. Maybe it's just a Mary Jo-ism, but that sentence just really like came down on me like a hammer on my head, okay? And then he talked about tasks. He talked about his, talking to some people like the Yitzhak Rabin, who is a two-time prime minister of Israel. He said that our home was permeated with a sense of mission. Work was considered a value in and of itself. And I think I grew up in a very much the same environment. Work was just something that we learned to love to do. I mean, at 4 and 5 and 6, I was out with my little red wagon. I had made potholders, and I was selling those in the neighborhood. And, I remember lying to get my first job. I needed to be 16. I was only 15, and I went in and told them I was turning 16 a month later. But I wanted it so badly that I misrepresented my age. And I'm not suggesting you do that because there's, that's sinful nature in and of itself. But we are so driven as kids to work, and it was considered a value in and of itself in our environment. But that's a valuable thing. So be task. We got to work to get things done. This isn't doing network marketing isn't about not working. It's about a 2 to 5 year plan instead of a 40 year plan. Just about a different plan. And then we can work towards other things that are most important to us. And then relationships, building the relationship is critical as well. Now, using the trilateral leadership ledger is really why I wanted you to look at this, because on the he gives you charts to show you how the calculation is done, and you can see where you can fall. You have to analyze yourself based on character, tasks, and relationships, and you can see by the charts that are attached to the outline that where you have zero character, you're going to have a zero total leadership. Or if you have zero tasks, you're going to have zero. Or if you have zero relationship, you have a zero. So you've got to work on all three. It's important to really develop and work on all three of those things together, right? It's just without all of them working, they're synergistic. So together you're going to achieve more. So the last page of the outline, which is the last, second last page, he talks about the three categories in detail. So you can see he breaks it down into character being, tasks is achieving, and relationships is serving. So he uses different terminology around each of them. And he gives you 10 characteristics in each one. So character has 10 attributes, tasks has 10, and relationships has 10. So he just establishes this as a mechanism whereby you can do your own calculation. And what he does is he suggests that you do your honest and self-evaluation. And we tend to overrate ourselves. Why is that? Because we perceive ourselves better than other people might perceive us in many instances because we have blind spots. So I suggest that when you go through this exercise, if you choose to do it, go through this exercise and take a pen, just look at your chart and say, which ones do I have and which ones don't I have? So circle the ones. If character, go through 1 through 10 and circle the ones that you have, you distinctly have. In tasks, circle the ones that you distinctly have. And in relationships, circle the ones that you distinctively have. You really get it. Now what you want to do, after you do that, you want to go and talk to people who know you. Yeah. Because whether it's a spouse or several of your close friends, and let them score you. And ask them to be totally open and honest with you. What a great revelation this is going to be. Because you want feedback. And understand that whatever they tell you is just feedback. It's not right or wrong. You don't make yourself wrong or them wrong or anyone else. You just get it as feedback. It's not truth because each one has their own truth about this. It's how they perceive you. But you know what? Let me suggest to you. How other people perceive you is more important than how you perceive yourself in many instances, because it's how you're relating to them. And if you're relating to people in a way that they think you're dishonest, why is that more important than what you think of yourself? Well, because even though it doesn't make you a dishonest person, it's more important that you know this information so that you can do something about it to make sure, what am I doing to send these signals, these false signals out? What is it about my personal characteristics or the method of communication or the way I, you know, hold my hands or arms, my body language? What am I doing to send wrong information to people? And then start correcting those things. So feedback is terrific. So you want to go back and get some feedback from them. And then what you do is you take your numbers. So let's say you circle 4. That gives you a 4 in that category. And tasks, you circled 3. That gives you a 3. And relationship, you did it 9. So you'd multiply 9 times 3 times 4. And that would give you what your leadership tally is. And that's how you get. And then what you want to do is go back and look at this list again and say, okay, where did I fall short and what can I start working on? And start working on your beingness, working on being more task-oriented, working on more relationship building so that you really, truly improve yourself to be the best possible leader you can. So great material, great little tool to help you work on some things, open your eyes to you and help you in a, take a different direction or grow in a different way than maybe you've chosen to in the past. And I just found it an invaluable piece, people. I hope you do as well. It's something I'm doing. I'm doing it with Lydia as well, because we want to work with each other and for each other to create the best possible results, right, in everybody's life. And that's what we're here about. And the last quote that I wanted to bring up for you is that one right smack in the middle of the last page. It says, do what you love in the service of others who love what you do. And that's kind of cool. And I thought about building that into an elevator speech, but I haven't done that. But it could be something like, I say, what do you do for a living? Well, what I do is I do exactly what I love in the service of others who love what I do. I mean, that's just kind of they're going to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. It doesn't really define what you do, but it's kind of a cool statement. And that's our goal. So do what you love in the service of others who love what you do. So how big an impact are we making in the service of others, and what kind of action are we taking to do it? All of those things kind of fit in the three basic categories of leadership that he's talking about. Okay, people, great. Hope you enjoyed it. Any comments, feedback from the group that helped you? Did you guys already start taking the test right there on the spot? See how important these outlines are. They can really support you. No comments from my group today. Okay, guys. Yeah, I just want to tell you, have a great week. Get to work out there. Yep.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Hi. Since nobody else is saying, I'll tell you this. Long, many, many years ago, when I was in my 20s, I'm in my 60s now, I knew a man who actually lied about doing drywall. He didn't know how to do it, but he knew he wanted to learn. He would go to jobs and just say, and the experience, he'd go, oh, sure. Well, after a few days, they would see he didn't have experience, and they would fire him. But he got some skills, so he'd go to the next job. Do you have experience? Oh, yes. And they'd hire him. After a few days, he'd get some more skills. Well, after doing that 4 or 5 times, guess what? He got all the experience he needed. So when the sixth job, or whatever it was, fifth job, He got that job and stayed with it, and he was perfectly happy because now he knew all the tricks of the trade. So I wasn't right. It was lying, but you know that go out and fail business you said earlier. Interesting. Just interesting.
Right.
Pass it on.
Yeah. Well, thanks. There might be a better way than just lying to do that, but you know what I mean? It might be like, Maybe a better approach would have been going and finding an expert drywaller and say, I want to be an apprentice and you don't have to pay me for the first 3 weeks, right? I mean, there are other ways of doing it, because he probably wasn't getting paid when he was getting fired all this time. So I would ethically choose a different approach, but it was a great approach. He just knew that he needed to gain the experience, and he did what he thought at that time was his best possible prospect of learning how to do this skill. And he knew that sitting back and reading books wasn't going to get him anywhere. Trying to figure out all the mechanisms, the only way he was going to learn was by taking action. So I give him a ton of credit for taking action. Right.
Mary Jo, I have
talked about being in our 20s because I thought we didn't know better. So forgive the lying part, but I just thought it was,
No, it's great. It's perfect. No, it is. It's perfect. It's great. It's great. Yeah.
Mary Jo, I have
What are the free number for tonight's call?
The phone number for tonight's call? So you don't have a computer either?
No.
Okay.
I typed it from the computer.
Lydia gave that, read it at the beginning of the.
I didn't have. Can I call her?
No,
Mary Jo, I'm here.
Okay, here it is one more time.
Can I call her to get the number?
She's on the phone right now giving you the number. Just listen.
It's 712-432-0443. And the code is 609-8545.
I don't have anything to write on, and I'm legally blind.
So how did you want me to help you?
Can I call Lydia later?
When you have
her
write on?
When I have something to write on.
Okay.
I volunteer for y'all. This is Evangeline. Can I call you back?
Yes.
Okay.
Evangeline, you know this woman? Great. Can you help her?
I hear her on Jeff's calls, I think.
Okay, all right.
What's your name?
My name is Mary Ann Nelson.
Yes, okay. Give me your phone number, please, Mary Ann.
603-968-2434.
2434.
Yes.
Okay, 605 or 603?
No, 603.
Okay, I've got it. 968-2434. And I will call you when we get through with the call, and I'll give you 3 minutes to get together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Evangeline.
Shirley, thank you so much for what you're teaching us. And I can see at a glance that I needed to do really get busy with these tasks, because to know everything and not do nothing is zero.
Isn't that a big? It really screams at you, doesn't it? It's like, oh my gosh!
Screaming at me and saying, blah 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 blah. Do it.
Just go do it. Right. Just do it. It's a famous Nike thing. Just go do it. Yeah. Great. Anyone else? All right, people. Great. Great calls. Let's get out there and just go do it and evaluate yourself. And maybe what we can do, we'll start off the call next week and just ask people in your analysis, and including asking other people to give you feedback, where did you see your greatest shortcoming? I'll be intrigued to see the answer. I could probably guess, but I will wait to hear from you guys next Monday. Yeah, go ahead.
What are the other 9 attributes of integrity?
The other 9 attributes of integrity.
As integrity includes honesty and all the other 9 attributes.
I don't know that I have...
In it, where it says character, being, it says strong sense of purpose and integrity, wholeness of person, including honesty, and all the other 9 attributes.
Was it written into the, where was it written in the outline?
It's on the handout that you have.
Under character.
Under
character and being. I think what he's talking about are the 10, if you look at the second last page where it says character.
Yeah.
There are 10 attributes to character.
Are those all attributes of integrity then?
Well, yeah. Well, I think so. I think they're trying to...
The word
integrity says wholeness of person, including honesty, and all the other 9 attributes. I think he's trying to combine 1 through 10 all within integrity. Does that make sense?
I was wondering if that's what he meant. Yeah.
I don't consider all those other 9 being part of the word integrity. I think trust and honesty come out of integrity, but I don't think a strong sense of purpose is integrity. Follow me? I wouldn't necessarily agree with his analysis there on that.
We can go to Rogesh Thesaurus and look up the word
integrity and see all the depth. But, you know, humility isn't to me a statement about integrity. It's an independent value than integrity. Integrity to me is honesty and, and trust probably are the two critical factors that go into integrity.
Well, integrity means integration, meaning everything is integrated. There's no separation. So,
well, maybe that's what he's taking as a concept of why it includes not just honesty, but all of the other 9 attributes that are listed under character. Yeah.
I was just wondering if he was referring to what he has listed there as the other 9, or there's some other list of...
There's not another list. In fact, you have... This is his entire article that was published on... Okay? So that's why I suspect he means the other 9. Yeah.
So he's isolating certain characteristics that things relate to integrity, but really integrity is integration of everything.
Well, I don't know that I would say it's integration of everything, because then you're including negative things as well as positive things.
Oh, right? You have to integrate the dark part to be completely whole instead of leaving it out. Not integrated, then you're...
So just honesty is part of integrity?
Well, no, I think that any part of us that's negative has to be integrated in order for it all to become whole. It's like positive and negative. The battery doesn't work unless you have the negative grounded and the positive connected.
So then but then you would be saying that integrity in and of itself is not a positive characteristic.
No, in itself is not neither positive or negative. It's a wholeness of person. It has nothing to do with positive or negative. It's just a whole being.
Okay.
Integrity. Positive energy. You know, positive. It can appear positive, which is okay. It doesn't mean it's positive or negative. It's just whole. You know, a whole being is operating from a place. There's no duality, in other words.
Intriguing. I've never heard of integrity described in such a way as being, because I don't look at it that way.
Yeah, well, if you look at it as positive and negative, that's taking it into duality. But if you look at it from a wholeness, then you're just operating from a whole place where God exists. God's neither negative or positive. It just is.
Okay. All right. That's a viewpoint. Yeah. I see. I get it. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. No, thanks for your contribution. Yeah.
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
Mary Jo, in expanding into Mexico, when you're taking applications or whatever for Mexico, do you have a strategy for keeping those people interested, since they're not going to be able to fully participate until the opening?
Yeah. Keeping people here in the United States or over in Mexico?
In Mexico.
Okay. People, because over in the United States, of course, those people you want to get signed up and get moving already. The people in Mexico, how do you keep them interested? You get an email list. You keep them up to date with at least a monthly newsletter on what's going on. You tell them, I have a little sheet where I have them filling out and building their own virtual downline before September. So they're filling in. I have a sheet that I can use. It's in Spanish that we fill in their contacts. And I have them building their own organizations without being able to sign up anyone yet. So I have them busy working as if they were associates. Yeah. Does that help you? Would you like a copy of that sheet that I use?
That would be great. But my concern is a drop-off. I mean, there's a natural drop-off when you're actually signing people up anyway. But
well, there's no drop-off here because there's not a drop-off here because they're not buying anything. They're not signed up. They're just people that are getting ready to be part of the September pre-launch. But, you know, this is why I'm telling people I don't think it's the best idea right now to really try to go out and find out as many people in Mexico as you can. Your best approach is to follow Manatech's approach, which is to try to grow your Hispanic business here in the United States first. If you happen to come across contacts in Mexico, then you can start building, making sure they have Skype or they have Magic Jack, so they have communication systems built up. Make sure they're getting an understanding and getting some training. You can put them through a new associate training, even though they're not associate yet, and then you can help them start talking to other people about the opportunity that's coming and why it's such a tremendous opportunity for them to be on the ground floor. But it's going to build, make it build into something that they're going to really start getting active come September, because that's when you can really get them very active. Okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo, this is Evangelina, and I have a lot of contacts in Mexico and lots of relatives, and I wanted to find out if Manatech already has set out a future plan for the fundamentals, you know, of doing them just like we do them here, or are they going to be quite different?
What do you mean fundamental?
The fundamentals of the business.
Fundamentals of the business will be the major difference that you're going to see in Mexico is going to be in Mexico. There's going to be a larger retail business.
Okay.
Because the Hispanic population loves the retail business, where they're gonna have places where people can go, like the Manatech. You know, you don't have a place in your local community where you can go and buy, $500 worth of Manatech products from a storefront.
Okay.
They're gonna have that available in different major cities for people who want to just retail the products, and that's gonna be a big, huge element in Mexico that we don't see here in the United States, because they do it today. That's what they do in a lot of the network marketing companies. So we know that's different. But other than that, the fundamentals of, you know, having meetings, signing up people, getting about, share with friends, you know, just like we have, find two, get two, and build a business that way, and power bonuses and everything else is going to be the same. It'll be, you know, it's the same whole, same strategy, same philosophy of what network marketing is all about, building traditional network marketing businesses. It will be a little different, too, because from the United States, only from the perspective that the All-Star Pack down there is going to be $250 instead of $499. So it's going to be half the price. These people are going to be able to come in.
Dollar amount instead of pesos, right?
Yeah, they reduce the prices, and they're reducing the prices of the products. So the price of the products will be priced differently as well.
Okay.
So that's both of it's terrific, because it's meeting the needs of that specific country.
Thank you.
Us. Yep. Okay. All right.
Sure.
Anyone else? Okay, everybody.
Thank
love you. All. You have a great week, and we'll be back in touch next Monday. Okay, everybody. Love you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.